If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." The title of the message this morning is Trendist or Transformist. Now, Satan does far more damage today as an angel of light than he does as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're not to be ignorant of his devices, and one of the most effective weapons I'm going to call trendism. Now, if you look in Webster's dictionary, you won't find that word. It's one that seemed to fit what I wanted to say this morning, and so don't be looking for trendism. But by that, I mean this business of studying and then following the trends of the time. Being carried away with every wind of doctrine, getting with it, drifting with the drift, following the crowd, being swept along with the current. Trendism is the order of the day, and we are a generation of trendists. Paul wrote to Timothy about three trends. One, there is the trend of things. The Bible said, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." The trend today is toward materialism. Money can be dangerous. And number one, the pleasure of procuring it. I talked to a man that was a multimillionaire, and he said, "Carl, it's no longer the money, but it's the chase, the enjoyment of being able to make that money." And then there's also the pride of possessing it and the peril of what we can do and purchase with it. It means things. That's really what money means, is things. And the Bible said that our life does not consist in things. Then there is the trend of the times. Paul gives a long list here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And a person would have to be blind in both eyes not to be able to see these things in the front pages of America's newspapers today. I can simply tell you that the trend here is not money, but it's morals. America is living in a sewer, the cesspool of iniquity. Premarital license, new morality, situation, ethics seem to be the order of the day. These are simply outward signs of a moral cancer that has gripped our country. And our nation is dying with an inward putrefaction. The third trend is in regard to the truth. Now, the drift that we see today in our world is toward modernism. Men are turning from the truth to lies. They cannot endure sound doctrine. Paul turned to Timothy and says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, holiness, love, and truth." He reminds us today that there is a rise in false doctrines, and a lot of it is simply that we catch the spirit of the age and we kind of get along with the drift and we go along with the trend of the day, and we don't even seem to recognize it. But consider the trickery and the treachery of trendism. The Bible tells us and gives us a good example of Ahab in the Old Testament in his expedition against Ramoth Gilead. He had scripture for his venture, as they had been a thorn in the side of the Israelites for a long time. He also had the good King Jehoshaphat from Judah that went along with him, and then he had, on top of that, 400 prophets that were all in agreement. Then he sent a servant out to Micaiah, and he asked Micaiah, "I want you to come in, and I want you to rubber stamp what these fellows have already agreed to." Well, Micaiah was not going to drift with the drift. He was not going to be a trendist, but he was the 401st prophet, and the world hates a 401st prophet. He was the lone voice of dissent in a day of institutional religion. The same is true of Elijah. You remember on Mount Carmel, the time came, either Baal is God or God is God. And there was a test set up by Elijah. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And so the scripture tells us that they made their altar, they put the sacrifice on the altar, and the worshipers of Baal, and there were 400 prophets of Baal, and there was only one man of God. But they prayed and they cried out, they cut themselves, they did all manner of things to get Baal to answer by fire. But Baal couldn't answer. Finally, Elijah said, "If I'm going to have time to be able to get it done, then you guys are going to have to step aside." And so he built the altar, he put the wood on it, the sacrifice. He dug a trench around, poured barrels and barrels and barrels of water on it. Then he prayed a simple prayer and asked God to answer by fire and prove once and for all who was God. You see, people, sometimes they don't realize that things are amiss. They don't realize that we're going in the wrong direction. They don't realize that Satan is getting a foothold, even in our churches today. And you know, the truth of the matter is, with our Lord, when he was here, the people of Jerusalem did not understand that they were living in error. You remember, he called the Pharisees. He said, "You're whited sepulchers. You look good on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bone." But the people didn't know. I'm going to tell you, you need to study the scriptures. Study the scriptures. Don't let somebody deceive you into thinking you're all right. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there's a lot of trends going on in our world, the church world I'm talking about, that's pointing us in the wrong direction. And it's getting us to the place where that we can entertain without a whole lot of problem the one world church run by the Antichrist. In these last days, there will be a form of godliness without the power thereof. Sunday morning Christianity can be a hateful thing in the sight of God. It is the trend of the time But it's a tricky and treacherous business because it looks so good that no one dares lift his voice against it. Now I'm going to meddle just a little bit right here. I know some folks physically cannot come Sunday night or Wednesday night. But I'm going to tell you, and it scares me, and that's why I feel like God's laid it on my heart, but it scares me that we'll go like other churches, and we'll stop having Sunday night, and then we'll stop having Wednesday night, and we'll find ourselves going in the wrong direction. And brethren, we have responsibility to our children. We have responsibility to our neighbors and our family to point them in the right direction. We live during the time of Laodicean, lukewarmness, and that nauseated our Lord. It's not that God does not love us, but he wants the best from us. Performance without experience is not merely vain. It is evil and ought not to be tolerated. But it ought to be repented of. Even the world knows the difference between force and farce, and God is not mocked. So I want to encourage you. In fact, if I could, I'd plead with you. Be faithful to come on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Come because you need to be here. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but God understands if somebody's sick, or they physically are not able. But if we're able and we can do everything else under the sun, we ought to be in the house of God. And I don't want to get on you, and I don't want you to get upset at me. But I am responsible for your soul. God holds me accountable. I can't make you, but I got to tell you. Another trend of the time is toward the ecumenical movement. That is the coming world church, which will head up eventually under the authority of Antichrist. Good people are often deceived. They're caught up in projects which appear so good that it seems almost unchristian to say anything about them. Riding all sorts of bandwagons headed for the promised land of a false millennium. Dr. Torrance said the 666 of Revelation is the number of the so-called Christian civilization without Jesus Christ. The number of every attempt to organize the world in a form that appears to be Christian, but in reality is anti-Christian. The real test of anything is which way is it headed? Which way is it headed? I cry for our country when I see what is happening here to the greatest country in the whole world that's ever been or ever will be. It breaks my heart. But the sad thing is, it's not just the country, but the people in the country are believing a lie and they're being deceived by the devil and they're going to spend eternity in hell as a result. If we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? If we don't care, who's going to care? The Bible tells us the real test is which way it's headed, and it says in Exodus 23:2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. You see, The gate that leads to destruction is wide, and many there be that go in thereat. We also see a new attitude towards the Lord's day. The trend is toward a secularization of that day. You know, I can remember when you didn't do anything on Sunday but go to church. But now then, it's business as usual. They have the church league games on Sunday, just like any other day. We've come a long ways the wrong way. We have a new attitude about the church. There's a trend today that would put a new robe on the prodigal son while he is still feeding the hogs. Some would put a ring on the finger while he's still in the pigsty. Others would paint the pigsty, or they'd advocate for bigger and better pig pens. They would kill the fatted calf for a generation that's still living on the husk that the swine did eat. If I read my Bible correctly, the prodigal son was rehabilitated after he arose and said, I will go back to the Father. And I will say to the Father, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hard servants. I have sinned. We are so excited about trying to get everybody into a new suit that we forget that first of all, they need a new heart. A new heart. You must be born again. I'm telling you, we're just passing through, and you got one shot at it. Don't mess it up. I mean, be faithful to do what God has called you to do. Jesus did not challenge the Roman government, but he told us simply, render unto Caesar the things that be Caesar and unto God the things that be God. But the biggest business of the church is the salvation of the lost. Amen. And everything else comes from that premise, the salvation of the lost. Another trend is toward professionalism in the ministry. Preachers once felt a call to preach. I was young, 14, got saved, and before the year was out, I felt the call of God to preach. The greatest thing that ever happened in my life was that the Lord saved me. And then he called me into ministry and said, Carl, I want you to serve me. I want you to be my servant. I said, yes. And I've never regretted that. Now the temptation is to drift with the computerized age, pull wires, play politics, know the right people. After all, they might say, I'm not Elijah and God is not sending ravens to feed the prophets anymore. Maybe this explains why some prophets have become profiteers. Something happened to the soul of a preacher when he feathers his nest in this world. And I'm here to tell you that we grow tired today of old-fashioned preaching. But the Bible said, preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. And that's all I know, is to just preach the word. The trend today is toward a popular Christianity. We have settled down in Sodom. We've joined the affluent society. We're rich and increased with goods, and we don't seem to have need of anything today. We no longer want to go to heaven like we used to. We've got good homes. We've got affluence. Everything's going well in our life. And we think down here is not so bad. But I'm here to tell you, this old world is going to melt one day with a fervent heat. Everything that you've got down here is going to be gone. Only what's done for Christ will last. May God help us that we'll put first things first. There's nothing about us to suggest that we are pilgrims and strangers down here and that we're just passing through. It seems like that we enjoy it here. But I'm going to tell you, I pray every day, Lord, when you're through with me, take me home. Take me home. Take me home. The trend today is a blending of mankind into one faceless society. Black and white are merged into gray matter. Light would have communion with darkness, righteousness with unrighteousness. We would establish concord between the Lord and Belial. The trend is toward an amiable get-alongism, peaceful coexistence. In every direction today, the issue is still Caesar or Christ. Remember a few years ago, the Supreme Court, they issued a prayer ruling. And in the eyes of men, they may have had some legal and constitutional justification. But the trend today, as always, is away from God. Everything is away from God that comes out of the Supreme Court almost anymore. That's the trend of the times. Is it going to get better? No. It's going to get worse. Are we ready to meet the Lord? Is he coming soon? Yes. I believe we better be ready now. I believe that we better be ready now. I believe that we need to be ready now. Because the trumpet's going to sound. And the angel of God with one foot on dry ground and one on the sea will cry out, time shall be no more. And this old world will be rolled up like a scroll. And it'll all be over. Then it's our standing before God and accounting for our souls. The Bible said that man doesn't have to be a murderer. He doesn't have to be a thief to go to hell. He can just neglect so great a salvation. And that's where he'll spend eternity. Be a good man, be a good woman, be a good person, but just neglect their salvation. Oh, we've got some bad trends today that's going on out there. We don't want to be part of it. Stand for the truth. Demand the truth. Whether I'm here or who's here behind this sacred desk, demand the truth. Because our lives and our souls depend on somebody telling us the truth of God's word. Bow with me.